up again. Computer class, yeah, tell me your name. It's now the time. We grow with each other every day. It's beyond us now.
Welcome, everybody, to a very, very special episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. Well, as usual, we talk movies, TV, and have some fun along the way. Like I said, a very special episode because not only are we finally finishing our countdown of the best superhero movies of all time, but we have a ultra special guest joining us today. It's a little throwback Wednesday, if you will. I'll introduce him in a second, but maybe first make the usual rounds here with our regular co-hosts. First, starting with our technical producer, the head of the GirlsLife.com studios at a new location, and of course, the man beast himself, Mr. Mike Rose.
What is that?
No, wow. We're still
talking about throwback. That's throwback Wednesday.
That was terrible.
Good Lord. Wow. Okay, edit that out. Yeah. And of course, we have live from Houston, the man who almost sees every good movie he can, but does watch great trailers. Tui himself, how you doing, my man?
Greetings and salutations, ladies.
Are you ready, man? You ready? You ready for the special guest here?
I can pass.
By popular demand, I use that term very loosely. So, let's make the intro. Let me take a deep breath here, because this guy has more nicknames than Apollo Creed, none of which are as good as the King of Sting or the Master of Disaster. So, here we go. So, without further ado, presenting the former host of the Foreign Corner, the former head of a crack research team and friend to all things Pikachu, the world's oldest millennial, Pugisaurus Rex, the former spokesman and now turned CFO of Left Field Productions, the Spaniard, ladies and gentlemen, one of the original hosts of the Real Mentors Podcast, George Repo. Welcome back, brother. How are you?
Finally, to quote the great Dwayne The Rock Johnson, finally, the Spaniard has come back to the Real Mentors Podcast. What's going on there, gentlemen? And ladies, Chewy, what's going on there?
it's nice to have George back. I would say, if in our Real Mentors Avengers team, he's like our Hawkeye. That's you right. Know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I was doing my solo mission.
Dude, you know, he's more like the Phil Coulson, dude, please.
Chewy, relax, because you're the guy that Tony Stark busted playing Gallagher in the first Avengers. So, you know.
Awesome, Gallagher.
Yeah, at least George gets Hawkeye.
Of course, you know, I'm not in the poster, but I'm in my solo mission.
Yeah, that's right. He's not in the poster. The next Avengers Infinity Wars, of course. So how you doing, man? Well, that's before we get into anything. Just catch up with George here, man. What you been up to, man? Well, how's life treating you?
I mean, like, you know, my daughter's about to be one, like Saturday. You know, she actually the 30th is her official birthday, but we're doing like a little thing on the 31st. So everything, we're doing preparations, everything's really good. You know, it's been adjusting to everything, you know, awesome. You know,
the family life.
Huh?
The family life.
Yeah, you know, the family life responsibilities, everything very good. You know, we can't complain. Everything's awesome. You know, work's awesome. You know, like, everything is very good. Is
is Creed part of the still part of the Black History curriculum?
Yes, yeah, Creed still part of the Black History curriculum.
And now you can add Black Panther to it, dude.
We've added Black Panther.
Wakanda.
That's true.
We've put Wakanda as an unofficial city, a sponsor.
There you go.
Awesome.
That is hilarious. I mean, obviously we talked earlier. You did see Black Panther, but are you caught up? I mean, what have you been watching lately, TV wise? You seen all the recent flicks? Like, what's going on that side of town?
Well, I mean, obviously, I have seen, you know, The Shape of Water, you know, Oscar-winning Shape of Water. I have seen that.
True.
You know, I've also been watching, you know, Jessica Jones.
Okay.
You know, I've been watching a lot of the other stuff in the, even though The Foreign Corner has been collecting dust, you know, you guys mentioned last week, you know, Casa de Papel and stuff. Yes, I have watched that. And then I was watching El Ministerio del Tiempo, or The Ministry of Time, which is actually one of these,
too,
like, time thing, which is very good, actually.
It's good.
Yeah. So I did watch that, all three seasons. You know, so I've been catching up with my little Netflix here and there. You know, I've been pretty up to date with everything that you guys have been talking about. So, I have to come to the record. My Ninja Turtles, it wasn't me. Never me. You know, because everybody,
I will vouch for. I mean, like I said, the identity shall remain a secret. But I would say that George was not one of the ones who had placed Ninja Turtles in any of the lists.
Exactly. I can see like for Ryan the Seacrest standing up and going, "You are not the one who picked Ninja Turtles."
Yeah, you know the great Jerry Springer or Maury Povich out here. You know?
He is not the father.
No, but I did not place Ninja Turtles on the list.
Let's get down to nitty gritty. Number one, are you still watching Once Upon a Time?
No.
And two.
No.
No Game of Thrones, obviously.
But actually, I'm not watching Walking Dead. I tuned out as of season 7. I think when Glenn died, that was the last time I saw it.
You waited that long?
Okay. Jeez.
Yeah, I know. But hey, at least you know we wised up and stepped off the train.
George was playing the band and the Titanic was sinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Once Upon a Time, once everybody left, I left with it. So, you know,
that's when I got back.
Hey, you know, at least I saw
that. Yeah, he left when they said this is the last season. Okay, I'm out.
I forget it.
That's it. Everybody's gone. Peace. I gotta stop watching it. Even though it's not on TV anymore, I won't watch it.
I didn't play on like the band.
You know, he's
nice.
That is hilarious. Well, George, it's good to have you back, man. I want to dive into a lot of stuff. I'm glad you caught up so we talk about a lot of things and all that. And we're going to jump into everything now. And I want to start with this because I didn't get a chance. I saw this last night. I didn't get a chance to review it because it was a huge accident on the way back home and it got really late. But I did catch Ready Player One yesterday.
Oh, ooh, see, I'm nice. Really excited about that. Like, I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about it because, man, I got to tell you, it's my favorite film of the year.
Really?
Oh, more Black Panther? Wow.
More than Black Panther. Could my mind change on the road, maybe, but as of right now, it could be a knee-jerk reaction, don't get me wrong. But, dude, right. It's vintage Spielberg, man. You know, just going back to what he does, but enough of this Lincoln and Post. It's nice, the good movies, fine, whatever. But this Spielberg does best, sci-fi, adventure.
Very good, wholesome family sci-fi fun.
It really is. It has a vibe of, you know, obviously, you know, Goonies vibe. Although, I mean, he wrote it, he didn't direct that movie, but he wrote the story for that. But it's like kind of E.T., it's a little bit of E.T., you know, a little bit of Back to the Future in there. So much fun, dude. And, dude, the references are ridiculous, man. Well, I mean,
I'm sure there's Easter eggs everywhere. Like, you know?
Crazy, but done really well. I think I went with Jose, and we took, you know, we had his son with us, who is, you know, he's 16 now, just about to turn 16.
Wow.
And I know, go figure. And he didn't know everything, but me and Jose were laughing all the time. Like, and they had, I don't want to spoil it, but I had a toy that I haven't thought about in ages, and it popped up. I'm like, oh my god, it's that! I can't believe it. Dude, I haven't seen this toy. Talk about coming out of left field. And for horror movie fans, there's one scene in there that is just freaking amazing for old school horror movie fans, and it places you in this particular movie, and it's fantastic. It's so much fun, dude. You guys, I can't recommend it enough, dude. It's really, really good. And like I said, it's a better Black Panther, even I think so. You have a great time. It looks fantastic. I mean, it's just Spielberg.
So watch it in the biggest screen possible.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah. It's
not a great.
No. Well, I didn't see it in 3D, so I wouldn't do 3D if I wanted. You know, honest, I don't have an option. But I mean, it was such a good movie, dude. Great for the family and Chucky. We all knew Chucky was in there. It's not a spoiler. Amazing. Just amazing. Like, there's so much little things. I mean, all three of us caught something different that we had and the other people hadn't seen. He's like, oh, did you see that? Oh, I didn't see that. I saw that. Oh, I didn't see that. Damn, what the hell? Dude, it's all in there, dude. It's all in the Street Fighter, Star Wars, and Gundam, and you name it. Everything you can think of from the early 90s and 80s is all there. And the music is great. And it has a lot of touches of the old score from like Back to the Future and all. You get very hinted in there. It's very cool. Very, very cool. Highly recommend you guys go watch it this weekend.
Awesome. Can't wait.
And
I was excited before.
I was
the trailer and everything, and as it got up to it, I was jumping the hype train. I was like,
I wasn't excited at all, to be honest with you. I wasn't like, okay, whatever. And Spielberg, and I heard good things. All right, fine. You know.
Yeah, given his track record lately, hasn't been that great, but like I saw it, and I'm like, man, this is going to be cool. It's going to be visually different, whatever. I'm glad it paid off.
It's really good. It's really a lot of fun. It's not perfect, of course. It's a little long. I will say that. It's like 2 hours and 20 minutes.
2:20. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's a little long.
Hey, 2:10 without credits, but there's no after credit scene, so let's say 2:10. But whatever. I mean, nitpicking here and there, a couple of things. But it's such a fun movie. I recommend all that. I'm glad to see Spielberg going back to what we love Spielberg doing, what we grew up in. Most of us here grew up in the same era for the most part. Yeah. I know, Mike, you were like in your 50s back in the 80s when Spielberg was arising.
He's a happy days kid.
Might be a little bit, you're probably too cool for school back then. But, you know, me, Chu, and George, we were the young, we grew up with Spielberg. This is what we love. It's all that we eat.
Yeah, do we have to give a moment of silence for Toys R Us kids? For Toys R Us? Yeah, because a lot of us were.
I'm not sad.
I'm not depressed about that.
Another business ate by Amazon.
That's not true, man. That is ridiculous.
It's a factor, dude.
No, it's not a fact.
Let's not go off topic. Let's stick with the topics.
When you borrow more money than you make, that's who you blame. You don't blame other companies. You blame yourself. Okay.
No, but you're trying to keep up with the Jones.
You don't spend 51 and only make 50. Okay. That's what I gotta say.
You're trying to keep up with
the bill of goods, and they couldn't live up to it. That's all that happened. They borrowed too much money, and they got screwed, and they gambled, and they lost.
And then that's exactly what happened. It is what it is, man. But
Amazon beat their ass.
But let's stick with the, since we're on the topic of Spielberg, because he was about to be the subject of What the Fudge, and I thought about it more. And it's not What the Fudge, but I think it's a good conversation because obviously we've expressed our love for Netflix. We talked about it numerous times. We talk about it every week, right? This is an interesting conversation I want to have with you guys and get you guys' take on it. Because at first I was like, this guy's nuts, but I'm thinking, okay, maybe not. So there's two stories related both to Netflix, and I'll talk about them first, and I'll let you guys jump in. So there was two things. The first one was the Cannes Film Festival banned any Netflix movies from being put on there.
What?
Yeah,
I heard about that. There were selfies and Netflix.
Selfies. Oh.
Yeah.
The Cloverfield Paradox is ineligible?
Darn. But I found it very interesting. And then Spielberg comes out, and you guys probably heard the comments where he was talking about Netflix and how he felt that Netflix movies should not qualify for the Oscars. It should be more for the Emmys because of the format. It's a TV format. And again, I'm paraphrasing here. And initially, I'm thinking this guy's nuts. And I love Spielberg to death. He's the greatest of all time. There's no arguing that. But I thought about it. I was like, you know what? Maybe what he says may hold some merit. Initially, I'm thinking, oh, hate is going to hate. But you know what? It's not an anti-Netflix thing. It's just his contention is that because he's complained that these movies will get to cheat into the Oscars because all you have to do is be in a theatrical release, limited, either New York or LA for a week, and they can qualify for the Oscars, which essentially is an Oscar rule, not anything else. So you can, take it up with the Oscars. But either way, that being said, but he's saying that it's kind of always like a cheat. These movies aren't dedicated for the big screen experience per se. They're not quote unquote cinema. Again, paraphrasing here, but he's saying, yeah, these should be Emmy. These are TV movies, essentially. And I'll bounce it out. George, I'll start with you. I'm bouncing it up. Your take, does he have any kind of merit? Is he way off here? I mean, or do you kind of see where it's coming from?
I think he's holding a little bit of water just because maybe production budget is not the same as a big screen release. You know, like if they had that big budget, they would have done it for movies, I'm thinking. And then also, I think it's accurate, the fact that he's saying that, it's because Netflix is a streaming service, I guess. And even though people are paying, it's a little bit, different. I mean, you would have movies like Bright be Oscar winners. Yeah.
We'll circle back. I want to get everyone starts first. Mike, what do you think? Like, what do you thought? You hear Spielberg saying that, like, there's a whole water. Is he just way off it?
No, I think it holds a little bit of water. However, good. Then you have to say the same thing about HBO stuff, too. I mean, it's the same thing.
Well, HBO, but HBO doesn't get movies into the Oscars. Am I wrong? Does it?
Yeah.
Which one was on HBO? I'm trying to think of one that was on HBO.
There was a couple of documentaries over the last couple of years.
That's fair. I get you. Okay, that's fair. Chewy, what initial thoughts?
He's full of shit, dude.
Really? He's hating. He's hating.
No, I don't think he's hating on Netflix, but he wants to. I mean, this is he's obviously been Mr. Movie for many, many, many decades. Obviously started his own company with a couple of other big-time moguls. and he's just protecting what he considers is his domain.
Yeah,
right.
So
he's just trying to piss on other people, trying to bring up other content and other areas, other meets, and you gotta roll with the times. Times change, you know.
Yeah, but 20 years
ago, there was no Netflix, there was no Hulu, there was no Amazon. And now all these other studios are, there wasn't as many studios there are now, and all companies are bringing other content via other means. You know, they could choose, obviously Netflix has gone out and bought some of these movies at Cannes and put them onto Netflix. Doesn't mean that anyone else didn't have the same opportunity to get these movies, right, and put them in theatrical production. So don't tell me it diminishes the product or waters it down that it's not a theatrical worthy movie, because they are. Do they make other movies that are garbage? Absolutely. But there's not to say that they can't make a movie that's Oscar worthy, and it's because it's not a theatrical release that it should be worthy of that honor.
But you see, I think it holds water because it's Spielberg. If it was someone else,
not
like someone
fuck, that dude. Doesn't have is the Spielberg track the record, king then of, I would of, tell you, of oh, media, no, of movies? All of a sudden?
But because it's Spielberg, I'm thinking that what he's saying, it holds water. You know, like, because he's been making movies.
I don't care
since
who
we've
he
been
is.
Alive.
It doesn't hold right, water. It doesn't hold water.
It's an elitist thing, right?
Exactly.
That's what he's trying to say.
That's his opinion, and he's trying to...
He's looking at his little elite corner and saying, oh, yes. You know, I'm a director.
They're not good enough. Yeah. They're not worthy of
Yeah, they're not, they shouldn't
SAG.
Call themselves directors. They haven't paid their dues. Yeah.
Okay, so now would you say the same if it was Cameron?
I would say it if I don't care which director came out and said it.
Yeah, because, I mean, Spielberg's not the only one. Even Nolan, who obviously, I love Nolan, he's come out and talked anti-Netflix as well. He had some comments about a year ago on this and that. So, and, you know, Spielberg's not alone here. It's not like he just came out of nowhere.
Right.
I mean, this is the thing. You're right. I think Nolan's a very old-school style filmmaker. You know, he is. The way he edits... the way he films his movies, that are practical effects. He doesn't like to use that new technology. Spielberg does, but he's been around since, the 70s, for Christ's sake. He's been around for ages, and he's, obviously, in my opinion, the best of all time. So I get what they're saying. And again, these movies, George, now you talk about the budgets, George, you mentioned that, and to circle back on that, I mean, these movies have budgets. I mean, Bright had $90 million budget. That's theatrical.
That's worthy of anybody.
Budget. Yeah, that's a big budget.
And then some.
Yeah, some movies have like over $150 million budgets.
Yeah, but I'm saying 90 is more. I would say it's on the high end. If you look at them, let's say there's about 400 movies released a year. I would say 90 is in the top 80 percentile, maybe more than that, to be higher as far as the budget wise.
But remember, that 90 million, that's all movie because no promotion going into it.
Exactly, it's just a production. But I mean, there's some marketing, of course, but not to the extent that these other. There's other Warner Brothers and Marvel do. They don't pump in $100 million in advertising. But and let's face it, you have Bright was done by David Ayer, and he's done plenty of theatrical work. He's a legit director. You know, you don't like every movie he does, but he's a legit director. You had Duncan Jones, who failed miserably mute, but he is a legit, theatrical director. I mean, he does stuff. You know, it's not like he's on like
Oscar nominated movie.
Yeah, these aren't small time. These aren't small directors who come out of nowhere. And you got Scorsese is probably, you could argue he's the best of all time. I'll listen to the argument, but the Irishman's coming out, and that movie has a budget of $150 million, which is on the high end. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a lot of
it's like ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. It's a good thing they're using that technology, the aging technology. So it's expensive. I get it. But these are big budget, man. These are theatrical release. Budgeted movies, and I get, and you're right. It's the sign of the times, right? You know, they're resisting. No one likes change, especially these guys who've been around for 30, 40 years.
Yeah, 50 years, movies,
50, 60 years involved in the business in some capacity. So I get it, but this is the way it is now. The movies are gonna go to Netflix. They're gonna buy more movies, and these directors the director of Pacific Rim, who came from the Daredevil series, the showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about that. I saw an interview with him. He's talking about Netflix and this and that. He's saying that it's amazing these directors who are kind of going towards Netflix because Netflix has given them the freedom to do whatever they want. It's like, here's the money. There's no interference. They could care less, right? Because Netflix is not worried about box office. Mm-hmm. But directors can go in there and get creative. And, like I said, even, Duncan Jones tried and it didn't work. But at least he gave him an opportunity to do so. Because that movie, Mute, there's no way that movie gets released theatrically. There's not a chance.
Not under that cut.
No way. Yeah, exactly. And it's so I get it. And don't get me wrong, I think sometimes you need to rein these directors in, you know. Right. You know, but whatever. But at least they helped him to go these big time directors. And then, like, you know, Irishman, studio was not gonna greenlit a $150 million movie, even for Scorsese, who doesn't always hit box office wise, right? And his last movie, Silence, was a bomb, you know, to say the least. But it was still a good movie. But he's like, fuck it, I'll go to Netflix. They give me $150 million budget. Okay. You know, no one else is giving that kind of money. Not a chance. Nobody is. So these are legit, you know, move with, you know, if you're right, we had Mudbound, right? Chewie, you saw that. I liked
it. That was an excellent movie.
Very excellent. I mean, just a worthy Oscar caliber film as compared to all the movies that were released and nominated. Absolutely. You know, I don't have a problem with that. And I think I get what Spielberg's saying. Initially I was like, this guy's nuts, but you know what? No, I get it. I get it. They're in a TV format, so the TV movie. Yeah.
Yes, now, would they do a category specifically for Netflix movies?
No, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see best streaming movie. No, it's either it's a movie or it's not. You know what I'm saying? And if it's got a budget, because the production value, you know, even if you don't, the movie isn't great. They pump money into these things. You know, Bright wasn't the best movie out there, but it looked really good, right? Good production.
Yeah. It wasn't horrible.
No, it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. It wasn't whatever, but it looked good. Production wise, it was well made. The effects were there. I mean, like I said, it had a big budget, so fine. A Mute, for as shitty as that movie was, still looked good, right? I was found. You know, I know Chewie, you saw it. It was a well-filmed, well-shot movie.
No, I mean, it didn't take any shortcuts. Visually, it was up there with any other movie. Release the story, which is
I mean, these aren't sci-fi channel effects here. You know, these are legit.
Well, sci-fi channel is a lot better as well. So that's not this sci-fi all of a sudden. Okay, guy,
relax. Take it from the guy that never sees a bad TV show.
Well, for real, right? Yeah. Never sees bad movie.
Until recently.
I've been right about a lot of shows that you weren't sure about, so I don't want to hear it.
Relax. You don't hit runs eight times with the plate. You got a couple of singles, you strike out, or you swap, and there's nothing wrong with that. It happens, you know. The best hitters in the world go around with 300, maybe.
They make the Hall of Fame, a 3 out of 10.
Exactly. You hit 300, you're Hall of Famer. So, you know, but that's very interesting. And it's kind of, you know, more and more directors are going to come out. I'm curious to see how many directors actually end up going to Netflix or Amazon or whatever the case is. And, you know, because I think more and more, we're going to see more and more go into streaming. I just think it makes sense. They get more freedom, they get bigger budgets, and Netflix would care less about box office. They could care less. You know, the wake up bomb in the theater for them is irrelevant because all they care about is the subscribership. As long as they pump out content, people are going to keep subscribing to Netflix. That's all they care about. So it's a different stuff, and it's just the way that we're heading towards. And which leads into our next topic because, you know, obviously, speaking of streaming services, we get Amazon. Man, these guys have deep freaking pockets, apparently. One, obviously, I don't know if you guys heard, they spent $250 million just to get the rights to Lord of the Rings.
That was just ridiculous. But whatever.
And they're pumping in $250 million to make the first season. So looking at upwards of $500 million, which is probably going to be more than that. That's insane, dude. $500 million.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, man.
I was going to ask you this about, I know it's a little bit off topic, but what about YouTube Red? Is it worth it just for Cobra Kai?
I would.
I know it's off topic, but Cobra Kai, is it worth it?
And
just YouTube Red.
Let's take this moment to bring in our sponsor, Left Field
Productions. Yeah, this segment is sponsored by Left Field Productions. I have to bring it for
God. We're talking Lord of the Rings, and he's all of a sudden makes Cobra Kai.
Hey, just curious. Well, why not?
Off topic. You better go to Hot Topic.
Nice transition.
Listen, George has to eat, man. George got to eat, you know?
Hey, I'm the CEO.
He's the CFO, man. He's got to eat. I get it.
I guess so, man.
No, man. Hey, look, I know it's $500 million. Lord of the Rings is incredible. And I'm sure that the season will be the longest season ever. And it'll never end because it's always everlasting. I get it. You know, but it's never ending.
Cobra Kai, baby.
Yeah, I guess. Let's go Karate Kid.
That was budgeted at $250. and half of that went to salaries.
Poor Ralph Macchio.
But he's sweeping no one's leg with that shit, dude.
Yeah, dude.
That's Directus Biz Ace.
That's not even, dude. I don't have no interest in seeing that. I love me some Karate Kid, don't get me wrong, dude. But,
yeah. So you would swipe left? Like,
way left. Yeah, there's no. But besides the $500 million, they just, and I just read this today, and apparently Amazon, there's this new Hugo winning Chinese novel, sci-fi novel. It's called the three body problem. I guess that's a trilogy. What I'm not too sure what the books are about, but there was this bidding war for the rights to it, so they can, you know, make movies, of course. And apparently, as reported, that Amazon had paid $1 billion.
No way, dude.
And I read that in a couple articles that said they confirmed. I mean, I guess it's not set in stone yet, but that was what the offer was. That was the presumed offer of $1 billion.
Even Bezos is not that foolish.
That's what the reports are. I mean, let's go with the assumption that is absolutely accurate. Dude, what the? That's what the fudge.
That is what the fudge.
That's what
$1 billion
makes $1 billion
no sense, because you're never gonna get that money back. That makes no sense.
I mean, no, they're not.
No, you won't. No, you won't, dude. No, you will. How are you gonna make $1 million back?
Well, like I said, I'll say it again. We're not talking. That's the thing we have to kind of. Everyone has to adjust it, because we're not talking box office. I mean, if it's a studio, Warner Brothers or bought for Ben Dobby, they're crazy. But Amazon doesn't make money off box office. They just, if you put a good product, people are going to subscribe and maintain that subscription base. And that's how they make their money. If you don't, I'm not saying go out and spend $1 billion or $500 million for Lord of the Rings, but I mean, it's hard to monetize these movies. Like, even with Bright, I mean, how many people watch it doesn't matter. If one person watches it or a million people watch it, I mean, it doesn't directly affect their bottom dollar. Right? What it affects is it's just extra.
It's a weird kind of communism, is what it is.
It's interesting. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it is weird. What it is. I mean, I don't think all of us really understand yet the inner workings of how to make money, whatever. But $1 billion, goddamn, that's a lot, bro. for anything.
But Amazon, I mean,
just for the rights. Not much more you have to spend to actually make something out of it.
That's for the rights.
Enzo Amore, Kmart, how you doing? Toys R Us. How you doing?
I don't know, man. Amazon might be joining Toys R Us after a little bit. I mean,
keep making Target deals like
how
this.
How you doing?
I mean, why not spend a $250 on Cobra Kai, dude?
Yeah, for real, man. Seriously.
Karate Kid, how you doing?
Get a goddamn pennies on the dollar for cheap, man.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I mean, Jesus. And then I read that. I was like, I couldn't believe it.
It's crazy.
Okay. That's insane. I mean, I know Amazon's got money up the wazoo, but wow. If anything else, it speaks to their dedication to bringing new content, good content, or whatever. They're not just going to give us crap. Like, Netflix has been dedicated. Obviously, they don't always say with their shit, let's be honest, but they are making some really good stuff. Particularly
Amazon's making some amazing stuff too, though.
Amazon
Bosch,
is. I
mean, Bosch is coming out this month.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I agree. They're not too low with Netflix yet. I think, you know,
they're way behind Netflix level.
I don't know about that. I think that they're, when you look at the amount of original series they produce and the quality that goes into those original series, pretty freaking good.
By the way, they are few and far between as compared to the number of Netflix shows, original content shows. By far, numbers don't lie.
But you know what? You throw 5 pounds of spaghetti on the ceiling, some of it's going to stick. That's how it rolls.
I agree with you. But I mean, I get Amazon's. Obviously, they're not going anywhere. They're committed to it, obviously, to spend this much money, which is a good thing, because, I mean, it's not just Netflix now. We got Hulu, it's coming on, whatever. Yeah. You know, and it's just the way of the future. All these networks are all going to go streaming. CBS kind of started already with the Star Trek stuff. And then let's not forget, we get the big boys. We got the mouse. The mouse is coming.
Yeah, the Disney streaming service.
That's coming.
You know, and they announced, obviously, we talked about last week, the Star Wars, the TV show is going to be on. Here's our money. And, you know, not that I care, but they're doing a Lady and the Tramp live version, whatever, like Jungle Book.
Why?
Lion King-ish. But they're gonna premiere it on there. They're not gonna release it theatrically. That's fine. Kids will like that.
George,
but,
you asked why. I'm gonna tell you why. Because little girls are money. That's who spends the money.
Well, the funny thing is, I know my daughter's gonna want to watch it. And
Exactly.
In 3 years, you'll be begging to watch Disney, the Disney Network. Right. So just prepare yourself. Sure. But this is the wave. Once Disney does it, and everyone, you know, forget it. You have no choice but to pump money in because Disney's gonna swallow you up. They got deeper pockets, and they got as good as IP, more notable, more recognizable, more popular IP than Netflix and Amazon combined, right? Sure. They do. It's just fact. Just Star Wars alone, that's hefty competition by itself. So, that's interesting. Wow, $1 billion. That's okay. That's crazy. But anyway, let's get off the streaming. George, I want to get your thoughts here. I want to lead into this because I know we've talked about it, of course, but George, the excitement level for you. We got Infinity Wars, less than a month away? About a month away? More or less?
May, yeah.
George, you ready? Did you get tickets? You saw Black Panther that first Thursday. I can't imagine you're not gonna watch this that Thursday as well before it gets released, or the first day of its release. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be able to watch it, but I want to get tickets. I know I'm not gonna be able to.
It's gonna be you and some other guy from Kansas not watching this time.
yeah, it's gonna be me and that dude from Kansas. But yeah, I'll find a way to watch it somehow. Believe me, I'll find somewhere to watch it.
Are you excited?
Oh, very. I thought the trailers have been very good. I'm thinking about not watching anymore, so I don't feel like I've seen the whole thing already.
Oh, I'm not watching. Yeah. One of the dropped those other TV spots. I'm not watching any of them. I'm done. I don't want to see anything else.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat, but I'm excited, man. I think it's going to surpass any movie, at all. Any movie out there is going to be, this is it. This is probably going to be the all tell all, superhero movie.
It needs to be.
Because if it isn't, then, there's going to be a lot, right? Everybody's been waiting, 10 years for this?
Just about, I'm actually going to, within the next few weeks, pop in some of the old Marvel stuff and start with the first Iron Man and, skip around the Avengers. Yeah, kind of get myself psyched up and ready, if you will. And it's funny because at work, which I want to bring up to you guys because we're fucking degenerates, man. We're betting on Infinity War stuff.
You got a pool going? Who's going to buy
Super Bowl bets?
We got pool. We got bet. And there's no joke. We I was talking to Jose about it before you watched Ready Player One. Like, man, we got like 6-7 bets going around. We got, what's the opening scene? These are all like $10, $20 bets.
Good Lord.
What's the opening scene? And, how many stones does Thanos collect? Who's dying, et cetera? Oh, my God. I forget about it. It's crazy. We have an over-under how many times we hear I Am Groot. we're just tossing it. It's like all prop bets, man. It's like Super Bowl stuff. So I'm going to throw it out to you guys. And we'll go around the room. We'll start with George, Chewie, and Mike in that order. So I'll put a couple here for you guys. So over or under, 3 Infinity Stones. The number is 3. Thanos gets more or less than?
Sure. I would say more. I think he gets like 4. Because there's one that they haven't released the what do you call it? Where it is?
The Soul Stone.
That's the only one that's missing. So I'm assuming he's.
Hawkeye has it, by the way.
What happened?
Hawkeye has it. He's in a solo mission.
He went to go hide it with Ant-Man.
Down. So he has to get all of them with the exception of that one, right? So I would say over. Four? I would say 4.
Chewie?
Can I go push or can I bet the line?
Push.
Dude,
yeah, I say 3.
I want some balls.
I say we can't go. Wait, why is we all? I
wait
say
a minute.
He's going to go 3.
You said. Okay, whatever.
Okay, fine. He takes the line. Fine.
Mike, the line. Come on, man. I'm going to go over, too.
You're going to go over?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's 3-2, so I'm going under, in case it's not actually 3.
So you lose. You get 3, you lose, dude.
They push you off the ledge, Ian.
Thanos dies. Yeah or nay?
No.
No. He's got to be around for the second movie.
He may be surprised. That's all I'm saying. What is the first scene? I'm kind of curious. I have my thoughts. Opening scene, what is it? But how does this movie open? Just location, a character, nothing specific.
I would say something with Wakanda, maybe with Winter Soldier, maybe. Yeah, like they pick off from there, like where Black Panther left off.
Mike?
I think it's some kind of wisecracky Tony Stark bullshit.
Always hating on the exactly.
Brilliant, Mike. Chewy.
I'm gonna go Doctor Strange in New York.
Nice.
Okay, that's not bad. I'm going with starting off at the end of Thor, Ragnarok. They're in the ship and playing over the back.
I was gonna throw it out there, but I kind of saw they already showed that at Comic Con last year, so I don't think that's gonna be opening scene.
That could be because they did show it. So I think that's. Yeah. First, I mean, I just what I might guess.
Yeah, but I mean, they're gonna do something different.
Yeah, I know, dude.
I mean, they could, but I think when they showed the ending scene in Black Panther, maybe, you know, I don't know, spoiler alert there, but just in case, you know, the ending when they showed the ending scene in Black Panther, could they pick up from there since it is the next movie in line?
I don't think that's in the running.
If
I
would have. Yeah.
Yeah, I think Doctor Strange, that's a good one. It could be somewhere there. I mean, the thing is when I thought about there's a scene in the trailer where Hulk lands down, you know, mm-hmm. And I'm thinking that's because I mean he was on the ship with Thor.
Yeah, he was, right.
So something may happen there. He gets sent away. Thor ends up in space because he gets picked up by the Guardian. So I mean, it all starts from somewhere, I guess. And we got this. Who's in the chopping block here? Name of the one. Your best bet. Who dies? What Avenger dies? We talked about this. No, but give me some. Solidify one person. Give me one person for sure gonna die. Because I got a feeling it's not gonna be anybody we're thinking of.
Well, we know it's not Tony Stark because he's in the next three movies. I mean, would you say Captain America maybe?
Yeah. So
is that your bet, or are you asking?
I mean, that's my bet. I'm thinking it has to be somebody big. Chris it has Evans. To be somebody huge. So Chris I think Captain America.
Should we?
So we got that's two votes for Captain America, is from what I hear.
It's Chris Evans.
I'll go War Machine. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's Captain America.
I'm going to say Vision.
That's my guess. That's my number one choice.
Can there be multiple characters dying?
I think
well, there could be, yeah. So
I mean, I think Vision goes down. I mean, I would assume that. I don't. Chris Evans talked about it the other day. He said he's done after part four. I was like, what does that mean? He's in part four, but he's doing reshoots. So I'm like, okay, so that means he doesn't die in this one, unless it's a red herring or.
Well, remember, you know, Vision has an Infinity Stone.
Could also be flashback.
It could be
flashback. That's what I was saying. Flashback.
I don't know, man. I think I don't think he dies, man. I think like Tony Stark's off the table. He ain't going nowhere. Spider-Man going nowhere. Strange, Black Panther, Thor.
Ant-Man.
Ant-Man's not in it, so whatever. He goes Hawkeye. So, whatever.
Hawkeye's dead.
I mean, Vision is a good bet. Vision has the Infinity Stone.
Like the only ones on the table right now, like are Vision, Captain America. I mean, not Captain America, sorry. Winter Soldier.
What about Black Widow?
Scarlet Witch?
No. Black Widow, Scarlet Witch. Those are the only ones on the table. And yeah, that's it. And I think Loki dies, but he's not an Avenger.
Oh, maybe one of the Guardians also?
No. Nope. Okay. They're off the table. No way. Okay. No way. Unless you do another bullshit group thing and he comes back. I don't want to see that. Ultimately it has to be Vision, right? He's going to get the stone. He got to die. Right? I mean, I don't know.
I mean, does he live without the stone? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Mike, do you know anything about that lore of Vision?
I know a little bit. I think you're pretty close to the money there, but I think that they're going to kill Chris Evans at the end and give the shield to Winter Soldier.
Bucky.
That's what I want to see, but I got a feeling it's going to be, I think Bucky's going to save Chris Evans, Captain America, and he dies. That's just a guess. I mean, we'll see. It's going to be, I can't wait. I can't wait. But let's move on from that. Let's go a little movie Tinder. It's a little bit, get George in here. We got three topics. Keep it short.
Okay.
First one here, we'll start with George since he is the guest today. Right
ladies
or left,
first.
Of course, Leo. Sure, ladies first.
That would be you, Chewy. You're going first.
No, he said George. He didn't say me.
Because he's being honorable with the guest, but I mean, it could be you. We all know you go first.
We saw this problem. Okay, ladies, there, pounds up. So we got Robert Downey Jr. Speaking of Avengers, obviously he's officially confirmed whatever, Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, Lord.
Left. Far left. I have no interest in it.
Dude, he's Iron Man, dude. He's Iron Man talking to animals.
Me importa tres pepino. I don't care. Do not care.
Left. I didn't care for the other, the previous Dr. Doolittle either. So left.
First is okay. It's not the worst thing ever. Calm down. Mike?
Did you see the money they spent on, like, the animatronic animals, how the cast? How much money they spent on that crap?
On what?
They could spend a billion. The cast is huge. I'm still swiping left.
Oh, no, I'm swiping left, too, but I'm just telling you that
yeah, they could spend a billion.
You know, like people that you got to pay millions of dollars to that are, like, voicing the raccoon, and you're like, come on, really?
I mean, it would be cool. I heard someone talk about this, that they should get Eddie Murphy to do the voice of a donkey. That'd be kind of fun. That'd be kind of fun. Next one, George. So there's a remake of, they're not going to call it Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but it's based off that movie, which is a great movie with John Candy.
Love that movie.
Starring Jessica Chastain, Olivia
Steve Spencer. Martin and John Candy, right?
Yes, of course, the original.
Yeah, that's the old
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
So we got, that's such a great underrated one. We got Chastain and Olivia Spencer, two Oscar winners, reprising those roles, if you will. Directed by Michael Showalter. If you're unfamiliar with him, he gave us The Big Sick, which I loved. But more importantly, he is Doug from The State.
Oh, Doug!
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was interesting to see this.
A whole lot of oregano. It better be.
It states an all-time great show. But yeah, Michael Show, Doug himself, he's a director, and like I said, did a great job with The Big Sick, and now he's doing this one. So all that being said, George, you want to see a remake or a reimagining or whatever you want to call it?
I mean, I'm curious. I'll swipe right, just curious. You know, see, give it a shot at least. You know, see what it is, and then I'll decide. But for right now, I'm curious. See what happens. I'll swipe right.
Do we?
And like I said, I found out the paper, and I could always catch it free on Netflix. I go right.
Okay, so you're going right. Okay, Mike?
I'll give it a shot.
Oh, look at that. Four right. Going right to it. I'll give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. I mean, Chastain, Spencer, that's talent. I mean,
yeah.
You know, whatever. It could be the worst, but I'm not hating on it.
It's a good movie. The original source material is awesome. So.
Oh, it's really good. I mean, to do it the right way, that's some way I could really do go with
it. Yeah, exactly. If they do it the right way, yeah.
It's not a good thing.
And really bad.
Yeah, he's got the chops. He proved them. Okay, let's see what happens. Next one, they announced returning characters for Captain Marvel, obviously, as starting production. And they announced Lee Pace, reprising role as Ronan, and Agent Coulson coming back.
Nice.
So Chewie's obviously swiping right.
Jordan? Yeah, I mean, I'll swipe right. Why not? I mean, check it out. Give it a shot.
I'm in. I'm always in.
Dude, I'm left on this, man.
Really?
What?
Why would you want to see Ronan? He sucked in that first one. Why do you think things are going to change in this one?
Well, remember, this is going back to 90s, so this is not like current.
Oh,
this
is so back. He sucks younger. Great. He still sucks, dude. I mean,
maybe he gets a chance to redeem himself. I don't know.
I like Agent Coulson. Fine. I'm fine with that. But Ronan, really? I don't want
You want a young Thanos instead?
I want someone new. I'd rather have something new than something that didn't work. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, at least they're not bringing back Apocalypse.
They might as well. It's the same thing, but the same color.
Green?
Now you're like potato, potato.
Same shit. So, yeah, I'm going to go left on that. Coulson, great. Right on Coulson, left on Ronan. I really don't want to see that. George, since you're here, I got another special edition of Gun to Your Head.
Okay.
So, of course, you got three options. Who's one of the two movies? I'm going here, and in your honor, since I did 80s TV shows last week, I'm going to the 90s TV shows.
Okay.
Which one you have a choice to be made into a movie? You choose one, or you can take a bullet, but you can only take a bullet once. Only one bullet in this chamber.
Okay. Right.
Five categories. So save the bullet for when you really have to use it.
All right.
So, George, gun to your head. And this one's particularly, I thought of you on this one.
All right.
Full House.
It's been remade, though. Fuller House.
Well, no, I'm talking about a movie.
Exactly, George.
That's a good movie. Or Home Improvement.
Wow. do I really want to see, you know, Full House has really already been pretty much. I would actually see Home Improvement just because, you know, they already did when they did Fuller House. They did a TV reunion kind of thing. Right. So the movie wouldn't really be that much picked over. So I feel like I've already seen it. So I would be with Home Improvement. I see what Tim Allen and all those guys are up to.
That's good logic. Chewy, gun to your head.
Yeah, I guess Home Improvement, but I'm not excited about either property, to be honest with you.
Agreed. Mike?
I'm in the same boat. Although Tim Allen's
they bring
pretty
Pam
funny.
Anderson back. Pamela Anderson back.
Really?
Yeah, have you seen her, dude?
He's a hot mess, bro.
And oh Wilson, el pobre, he's
she looks worse than, you know, it's Ralph Macchio, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she did I.
Poor Ralph Macchio.
Woo. Wow, he should have stayed in. My cousin Vinny should have let him that run in jail.
the two youths.
Two youths. George, here we go. Gun to your head. Party of Five. Oh, Melrose.
Jesus Christ.
Or Party of Five of who?
Oh, Melrose Place.
Actually, Melrose Place.
Well, how did I know you were going to say that?
Claro, very hot, like you actually want to see that too.
I know, dude. Oh, yeah, Melrose Place.
Shoot himself for that one.
Milano, bro. Alyssa Milano, dude.
What?
Alyssa Milano was in Melrose Place.
No, dude.
No, she wasn't, dude.
She was
in it.
Alyssa Milano?
Yes, sir.
She had a small stem.
No. Yeah. She was in it.
He was in it for a little bit. No, you agree.
One episode?
Okay. Do I have to really pick out Pikachu in here, like, to tell you how
many? Might as well, man, because you seem to be a big fan of the show.
Dust them off. Joe, what I asked Mike and Chewie, dust off Pikachu. Confirm them episodes for her on that show. Chewie, looks that out. Chewie, gun to your head.
I'm taking the bullet, dude. I'm taking the bullet, dude.
Wow. Okay.
Party of Five, Melrose Place, really? Really?
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mike, before you answer, Mike, I'll give you 2 stars. I'll give you Margot Robbie in the lead in Melrose Place, playing probably the Heather Locklear character, or Emma Stone playing Neve Campbell's role in Party of Five.
She was in 40 episodes of Melrose.
40.
Pikachu.
3 years. Through. 3 seasons.
There you go. I know she was in it. I love me some Alyssa Milano. Whew.
You see, she was in 40 episodes.
Mike, who you got here?
I never saw Party of Five, so that was at my time when I wasn't watching crappy TV.
Things have changed. So you might as well pick that, because
I've seen Melrose. I'll go with Melrose.
All right, really? But, yeah. Melrose was a guilty pleasure, I ain't gonna lie. At least like a
Jack
season
Wagner.
Or two. Jack Wagner.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was there 1 season or 2.
Also, Heather Locklear was in that, too.
Was he?
Yeah, Heather Locklear was in it, too.
Heather Locklear. Yes. Andrew Shue.
Andrew Shue.
Yeah, that's right.
Princess Vespa, you know.
True. Princess
Daphne
Vespa.
Zuniga. Yeah, she was in it.
Funny. She didn't look Jewish there either. classic Spaceballs.
Awesome
Spaceballs. Next one, George. This is gonna be interesting, George. Gun, you still got a bullet. Chewie's the one that has bullets left. You should have saved it for this one. All right, so George, Cop Rock, or Sabrina the Teenage Witch. If you're not familiar with Cop Rock, I kind of remember it. I never watched it, but it was like a musical TV drama.
Terrible.
So
I'll do Sabrina the Teenage Witch, dude.
You wanted to see that too, little bastard. gun to your head. You lost the bullet. So, yeah.
No, I don't know what the other show is. I go Sabrina, I guess, in this case. By default.
Wasn't Punky Brewster in Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
No.
She was. You're the Pikachu tonight. You look it up and tell us.
I believe so. Pikachu? I believe she was in the later seasons.
Pikachu, look it up for us.
Yeah.
Mike?
I'm going to take the bullet.
I had a feeling that was coming. All right. We'll start with Chewie as George is looking up. So we got California Dreams.
Yeah, she was in 3 years of that.
3 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
From 2000 to 2003. See, Pikachu's in rare form, bro. I'm telling you, it's all over.
We sit corrected. Chewie, so we got California Dreams. Oh, hey,
I have California Dreams.
Which was California Dreams again?
That's the one I followed, Saving the Bell. Like,
yeah, I followed Saving the Bell about that band.
The band, like in a rock band and shit, and what surfers and whatever, dude. It came right after. And Hey Dude, I don't remember Hey Dude. I remember that was Nickelodeon. I think it was.
No, I don't remember. I don't remember either show. To be honest with you, so it's
California Dreams.
Go Hey Dude. Fuck it, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that had better be six. Mike.
Really, bro?
You took a foot already.
You're asking me about crap I've never seen.
George?
I will go California Dreams for sure.
Nah, Hey Dude. Again, Hot of Chicks. Last one. These actually shows that I kind of like.
All right, finally.
So, George. Name Parker me. Lewis Can't Lose?
Oh, okay.
Or Herman's Head?
Oh, ooh, shit.
Both good shows. Both good shows.
Good shows. I like that. I want to do something to me. I want to do all crappy. So, you know, end off with a good show. So, which one?
I mean, Parker Lewis Can't Lose reminded me a little bit of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, a little bit.
Yeah, fair.
A little bit.
So, I feel like I've seen it as a movie. So, I might go Herman's Head on it just to see where it is. Although, that kind of reminded me of Inside Out a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. That's true. Yeah, Inside Out. Well, I'm not going to go say being John Malkovich, but yeah. Chewie? Parker Lewis and Kubiak, or
Kubiak.
Awesome. Yeah, no, classic.
I'm going Herman's Head. I actually watched that show. I think it was on Fox way back in the day.
Yeah, they were both on Fox, actually. Yeah, both Fox.
Oh, shows. They were both Fox? Okay.
Yeah, both
Fox.
Yeah, both airing. I want to say them at the same time, but whatever. It was doing that era when it...
Airing that era, yeah. No, I go with the Herman's Head. I thought that was funny way back.
Actually, I liked it like Herman's Head. Mike, did you are you familiar with these two shows?
Yes, I am.
Oh.
And okay. Yes. Actually, I like both. I like both those shows, actually.
I do. I do as well.
I guess I'm going to go... I think Herman's Head would make an interesting movie, so...
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it'll be kind of cool to see that. Especially, you know, I mean, Inside Out was a take on it, but it wasn't exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
But no, I think that'll be kind of cool. That's one I wish they kind of... Anyway, yeah, Parker Lewis, you're right, George. That's a good call, George, with the Ferris Bueller thing. You're right about that. So let's get into it. Let's finally move on here. Let's finish up the Daniel LaRusso segment, the best of the best.
The
finally
best
moving
best.
On to the
top
two superhero movies.
Hello.
Of all time. It's the best around it. it's the best.
Okay. Yeah, but I can better sweep the leg.
Okay. Uh-huh. I can deal with that. So, obviously, we're down to the top two. But I do want to address, I know we Lopez requested, you know, on Facebook, we like to take requests, and he wanted to know, before I get to the top two, some of the movies that weren't mentioned in the top five and other people's list that were nowhere near anyone's list. And some of the top five
don't
movies.
Don't say Ninja Turtles.
I'm down. And then the movies in the top five that weren't anybody's list or weren't anywhere near the top five. So on the movies that no one had, someone had Blade as number one.
What?
Blade. Wow.
What can I tell you, dude? I don't know what to say.
Some call it the original black hero.
Is the first one, but whatever. That's a different conversation.
Doesn't matter.
We have Teenage Ninja Turtles was in someone's top five.
Why? What? Yo, what the fuck, man?
And then this person? I don't want to tell you. And there was two people who had Ninja Turtles. Not top five, but one top five, one was top 15. But that one was...
Top anything! Jesus Christ!
And no, it wasn't George.
Yeah, we know.
Never me.
That's established. Superman was in the top five. And with the original.
I had Superman. Okay.
Unbreakable showed up in someone's top five. Original Batman was in someone's top five. Superman 2 in someone's top five.
Superman 2 is better.
Zod.
Than
Zod. Yeah, that's right.
Superman
2 is better,
is
one.
Better than Superman 1.
Yeah, by far. So,
Neil to Zod.
Neil
to
Zod.
And then, great line. But also, one was that the one offs that stood out. And ways that top five that weren't in at all. I mean, obviously, there's no mystery. We're gonna talk about Logan and Dark Knight, obviously. They didn't each of them didn't make two people's list at all.
What?
Jesus.
Winter Soldier didn't make three lists.
Jesus.
Civil War didn't make one list. And as far as I mean, you had some Guardians in there. It's a little mix. Yeah, Winter Soldier near the top. So some of the same movies we talked about within there. But as far as movies, like as far as I think the egregious list of leaving out Civil War, Winter Soldier, Logan, Dark Knight was ridiculous. But it happens, you know. Hey, again, and yes, I'll save the mystery. Blade and Teenage Mutant Turtles. That was a list. I didn't have any of those two movies. So. Yeah. Needless to say, this individual should not be used in our future list, which we will have. And we'll talk about that next week. We'll partner up. And we'll see.
He's what you would call an outlier.
He's an outlier.
For us statistician guys out there.
That's the guy that made George look good. Man, that's not easy to do.
He's the guy who fucks up the curve, dude.
That was the guy. Yeah, that's the curve killer.
He's the outlier.
Dumb bastard. But let's get into it. So number two, we actually had this as a number one way. A couple people did. And that was Logan coming in.
One or two. Two or one.
A movie which I love. Logan. Love Logan. Best movie last year, hands down, as far as I'm concerned. And something different is that, again, a rated R take on it, which we're all waiting for. Done the right way, of course. You know, especially coming off Deadpool, kind of paving the way for this kind of movie made by Fox. And this was a home run, man. And Chewie, you had it the high, so I'll let you go first as far as Logan and what stands out this movie.
Actually, what doesn't stand out? I mean, great performances by Patrick Stewart. Snub all around. Story was excellent. Pacing was awesome. It had a Western feel to it. It was just from beginning to end. I mean, I could watch this again and again and again in color, in black and white. Doesn't matter. And it's an excellent, excellent flick, dude.
Yeah, and you bring up the point about the Western is what I said last week about these next three movies transcending the superhero genre.
Yes.
But last week you had this kind of spy thriller starring a superhero. Here we have a Western starring a superhero. This was a Western, independent way of all. It was, the narrator was like a Western. The story was very Western-like. Mm-hmm. This was not your typical superhero save the world. It was not.
No.
Stretch of the imagination at all. Mike, your thoughts on Logan before I jump in? George, what's your opinion?
No, I think it's well acted. Incredibly well acted. Well shot. Fun movie, very emotional.
Yes.
Excellent. Just a great, 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 great movie.
Yeah, you know, like I share the same opinion as my fellow mentors, you know, like the same. You know, I mean, it was a good movie. It was very entertaining. Where I finally got to see, you know, Wolverine, you know, Logan, you know, release the claws and go ham, you know, on everybody. You know,
he went cray-cray.
He went cray-cray, for sure.
Oh, Jessica fans out there.
Sorry.
Jessica fans.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later tonight.
Yeah, he went all out. You know, that was good to see. You know, like
he went full ham, dude. That was beautiful.
Yeah, he was on full mode right there. You know, he didn't let
And we were all waiting for that to come and get
him. Yeah, you know, like it feels like sometimes we've been getting cheap or, you know, like we've been getting, you know, gypped on it, you know?
I agree. And then I think the fans are calling for it, and I'm glad they did that. But what I mean, just so many things. You're right. So many things about this movie. The acting is as good as any superhero movie we've ever seen. Probably the best we've ever seen as a group, as a collection.
I mean, it was nominated. It didn't win, did it? Or it did win?
For writing, which is a big step forward for this kind of movie. It was.
That was about it. Yeah.
Yeah, it got snubbed, but whatever. It is what it is. I'm not surprised. Whatever. But I mean, what I love about this movie, it's Logan. I mean, at its very core, especially when I looked at this movie, I'm like, especially us, Mike. You know. You at 80 years old, you can relate to this. But as, you know, all of us in our 40s, and you get to a certain point in your life where Logan's at, where you're vulnerable, you just can't do it anymore. You get tired, and he's not the same guy. You know, think about it. You know, when you go work out, go run, I recovered. It takes so long to recover after that. And you're so relatable, because that's who we are now. And right currently in our stages of our life, we're at the point now where we're hitting the back half. And yeah, we don't feel the same. We don't recover the same. And that's exactly what he's going through. Super relatable. And the relationship between, especially the family theme of this, we have the father and son relationship between Patrick Stewart and Wolverine, Logan. And they've been going at this for 17 years. I mean, they were together from the first movie. And it's that, you know, now it's the son taking care of the father as the natural progression of life. Very cool to see that explored in this movie where this guy is pretty much senile. Let's face it. And, you know, Logan's got to take care of him. And then transitioned down into the relationship between him and a pseudo-daughter, if you will. And that's the relationship they had with, you know, obviously, with X-23, who was awesome, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I think she stole a lot, some of the scenes too.
She did. She was fantastic, and to see that relationship, we never seen this kind of emotion from a superhero movie. Correct me if I'm wrong, and if anybody can think of anything that's as emotional, as deep, as layered as this movie was. You know, I can't think. Not yet. Not yet, right? And
this movie actually broke some ground. Like, you know, like it kind of went deep into some of the characters.
It really did. This was a character study with a superhero. That's all it was. The only difference. And we got some entertainment value that these movies offer, but we got so much more of this. And the ending was pitch perfect. It could have ended any other way. This was his last go around, but, you know, presumably maybe he shows up, who knows. But to end, you know, obviously, spoiler, you know, him dying and then she turns the thing, the cross into the X. Such a great moment. Stop notch, man. This movie was absolutely stellar, man. And Chewie had number one. I don't blame you. I'm fine with that. You know, I'm okay with that.
I mean, we're down to the top two. I mean,
one, two,
we're splitting hairs now.
Exactly. But look, I mean, it's just phenomenal.
I mean, it's not like we're comparing it to Blade or Superman or anything.
It's not Logan. Ready Player One better than
this isn't the missing Ninja Turtle here. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
He's like the fifth Beetle. But just phenomenal flick. It's absolutely one of the best. And it's not. I know someone mentioned to me that it's a knee jerk reaction that because it just came out. Yeah, but
it's been out a while now.
It's that good. And it's been
more than a year, so that knee jerk reaction is long gone, dude.
Oh, even it's after I saw movie. It, I knew. Something you walk out of a movie like, damn, that shit was good.
You just know.
And which leads to number one.
You walk out of a mood, you go, damn, that shit was bad.
That was really bad. Exactly. You just know. Sometimes you watch a movie and you know this was special. It goes beyond, oh, it's a good movie. It's just like, damn, this is like a freaking great film. And you walk out like, Jesus, I want to go see it again right away. Which leads us right into number one, obviously, no big surprise, The Dark Knight.
Shocking.
Another movie which transcended the genre, giving us like a police procedural, so to speak, much darker film that we're used to. A lot of real life themes in there, obviously. And this movie, I'm going to watch this movie because I saw it. I was going to watch it with Peter and all that, like that first day it came out, of course. And my boss had a friend at the theater, got us in early in the afternoon to go watch it. And I text Peter, and I was like, dude, I'm watching this movie. He's like, yeah, right. And I went to go see it. And as soon as I got out, I was like, oh, my God. And it was like an hour between the real showing I was going to go to. Dude, I could not. I was astounded. I'm like, dude, I can't wait to see this again. I was telling Peter, dude, get ready, dude. I was overhyping it. And I wasn't worried that. Sometimes you overhype a movie, you're thinking, okay, man, I'm overhyping it. This movie was not overhyped. This is clearly the best, for me, the best superhero movie of all time. A lot of people agree with that. Mike, I'll start with you, your thoughts on The Dark Knight.
I agree, 100%. Many, many acts in this movie, not just three acts like most movies. It's a it's a long movie, but it's not, you don't feel that it's long. The characters were fantastic. You know, and even Christian Bale, his voice bugged me in the movie, but other than that, I thought he was great. It's just an awesome movie. Heath Ledger, don't even have to talk about how great he is.
One of the greatest villains of all time.
Yeah.
Easily portrayals. Phenomenal. He was phenomenal.
Michael Caine, incredible.
Michael Caine, yeah, you're right. Yeah, Michael Caine was great. Even
Holmes.
Gyllenhaal. Yeah. Sister, exactly.
Maggie, she was much better. Sorry.
Maggie, there we go. Good call. Chewie.
No, man. I mean, great movie. I think that I had this too, or whatever I had it. I mean, I think it was top three.
Yeah, you had it too, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. It was, like I said, we would have split in hairs. I mean, hey, great movie. Holds up. Definitely one of Nolan's best, definitely the best in the trilogy by far. And just overall, I mean, you can still pop that movie in any time, and it's just a great. And you know, in spite of what Warner Brothers has done with DC properties, this one is up there. It's probably the best DC movie there is out there.
Because who made it? Nolan.
Exactly.
And I mean, you still pop the movie today, and you know, you're still quoting movies. I mean, you're still quoting lines.
It's absolutely watchable.
Oh, yeah. Completely watchable. And I took time to see most of these in the top 10 just to kind of give me a refresh and be sure. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, the chase scene through the underground and above ground. I mean, what the hell? I mean, that's
even when he's when he's trying to blow up the hospital, that he goes like, and he gets stuck because the thing got stuck in real. You know, like.
Which is kind of improv, from what I understand.
Yeah, that was an improv scene, and he surprised himself.
It's movies inside of movies. That movie, I think. I feel like there's like two or three movies inside of that movie.
Oh, there is. And Nolan weaves them perfectly, man. He's a master filmmaker, and this movie changed. This was a game changer, and they say everybody wanted to be the Dark Knight after. Oh, this is the way you should make these movies, and it gave credence to his movies being taken seriously. I mean, if the nominations were, I think the year after this movie came out is when they agreed to nominate the up to 10 movies. Because there's no doubt this movie would have been one of those 10 easily.
And should
have been that five. I look at that year, but it should have been nominated regardless. But whatever. But it was talked about.
Did he win an Oscar, Heath Ledger,
He won Best Supporting Actor.
Oh, well deserved.
He won Best Supporting Actor posthumously, right?
He was again one of the best villains of all time. You joke. He's awesome. Everybody wanted to be in Halloween. It just again, and he's still relevant now. People still talk about the performance, and obviously, you had Jared Leto. He tried, and
I don't think he can hold a candle to that.
And it's natural you're gonna compare it to Heath Ledger. You just are. I mean, it is what it is. And then he took that role from another Oscar-winning actor who won the Oscar, in Jack Nicholson back in '89.
The Oscar-winning Suicide Squad.
Oscar-winning Suicide Squad. You're right, man.
Oh God.
I apologize. that never gets old. But it's just. It's just fantastic. It's nearly perfect. I'm going to probably say it's perfect. I don't think it's a perfect movie, but it's as close as you can get. And for Nolan to do what he did with that genre, bravo. And it was fantastic. I mean, I think on most lists, it was number one. There were a couple of Logans in there. But for the most part, it was Dark Knight, which no surprise. I think we all knew that going into it, let's be honest. And those who didn't have him in the list, shame on you.
Shame.
Just shame. I mean, really. Shame. I mean, you have to have number one, you know. I mean, you can have a five, six, whatever. It has to be. How you not on the list, for Christ? I can't. I get it. Movies are subjective, but not my thing. Come on. You know, let's get serious here. That should have been in there. So that is the list, man. The top 10. I mean, I think it was fair.
Finally.
Most of the list was fair. I only have one objection that, for the most part, I think that was X2. I think we all agreed on that. As far as it being a top 10, not that I didn't like X2, it's just another top 10.
Yeah.
But whatever. But either way, so we are going to do, I'm going to do other stuff, new off the cuff kind of topics, and we'll discuss that later on. We'll bring them up and probably do one towards the beginning of the summertime. And all that. So I kind of like doing these things and all that. So moving from all that, let's hit the Netflix talk.
Nice.
We'll start with Jessica Jones, obviously. It's a little cray cray.
Cray-cray. I want a cray-cray.
Which we all four of us have seen the episode of Cray-Cray.
That's right.
We have.
I can appreciate the artistry that is, Trish, you know, at the height of her powers, if you will.
Yeah.
You know? Giving us an Oscar-worthy song or Emmy, whatever, depending.
Yeah.
So I don't mean Chewy finished it. Chewy, you did finish it, right?
Yes, I did finish.
Mike, you're in 10. George, you're at 8.
Yeah.
Okay, so non-spoiler, just quick thought, because I thought, for me, I know, Mike, we just started watching it when you first talked about it a couple weeks ago, I think, and the first four episodes are slow. I thought it was just okay, but I thought the show really took off after like 6 or 7 episodes.
You're talking about when they introduced that character, you know, like the IGH character?
I think I get the show a different kind of. I wasn't expecting that kind of. I mean, these shows. I honestly going into, I was thinking, okay, villain kicks ass and let's go. I mean, the typical hero, superhero kind of stuff that we see.
Yeah, I'm glad they gave us something different this time around. Where it wasn't your hero and here's your villain. It was a lot of backstory.
Yeah,
a lot more because the first season there was essentially no backstory to Jessica Jones, and season two was mostly all backstory, right? But it was slow burn. But, you know, from looking at it from beginning to end, I think it was a really, really good show. I really enjoyed it.
See, like, I mean, like I said, I haven't finished the whole season, but like what I liked about it so far, what I've been liking about it so far is the fact that they went deeper into Jessica Jones as a character. Like, it was more like a prequel, I guess, if you want to call it. So you really don't need, I don't think you need Kilgrave, like, but you would need him for season three, or at least if they...
Well, no, Kilgrave's gone. There is no Kilgrave, dude.
But you know what I mean? Like, they would need something like a villain for three. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they need something like for after they pick off, because, I mean, but the first season was no introduction. Then the second one, you went prequel. The third, you have to go forward. Like, you can't go further back.
Obviously, I'm Ganda, but it's set up nicely for what we can expect from the show.
That's what I'm kind of curious. I mean, like I said, I haven't finished it, but that's where I'm thinking they're going, and that's what I'm glad that they went into, like, the story of what made Jessica what it is, you know, like, and what they have to do. So I actually enjoyed it so far.
And I like how they wrapped it up. And obviously, I can't mention it here.
Right. It ends well.
They ended it real nice, a little unexpectedly. And I didn't see it coming as far as, oh, shit, you know, how it was going to end. But they did a good job.
There's the one scene I won't say, but you know what I'm talking about, Chewie.
Yes.
Yeah, I won't say anything. Mike, your thoughts? You're almost done with the blip.
Oh, I thought it started out slow, like you said, picked up steam, and I'm enjoying it now. I'm on episode 10. I just finished episode 10.
Oh.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I like that Hogarth arc in this season, too.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I, at first I'm like, but then, yeah, it got really interesting.
It did.
I don't want to say anything. Yeah. But, yeah, it was really good, and I like it. Yes. Yeah. Like I said,
the depth of her... her character.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, cool.
What was her name in The Matrix?
Trinity.
Yeah. Yeah. Damn it. Yeah. I mean, she was freeing a lot of mind.
You know Trinity in this season, that's for sure.
And, you know, and you're right. There are, a lot of these are even like, what's the black guy, the druggie?
Malcolm.
Yeah, he had a nice arc. I like they really set up all these characters well for the next season, where they are, where they're at. It makes sense. And It was a deep dive in this character study. Not only Jessica Jones, but Trish as well. Yeah, because she's
crazy. And that's not a bad thing.
Not at all. Yeah. She's way cray-cray.
Shit, dude.
But yeah, you're right. It took the show. I didn't think it was going to go. Like, wasn't expecting this. So, after iffy kind of start, okay. Really good. And we'll deep dive next week. I'm sure Mike will finish it up and all that. Yeah.
You would hope.
Chewie, before I hand it off to you, I do want to mention one show that came out that I talked about before that I was looking for, and that's Requiem.
Yes, it came out last week. You were correct.
Yeah, BBC.
Six episodes, short and sweet. Yes.
Short and sweet. I saw the first two. Good show. I'm not sure how good it is yet because I want to see how it ends up.
Yeah.
But it's got really cool horror vibe, aspects to it, which I like.
It's not a horror show by any stretch of the match. And I was under the impression that it was based on the trailer.
That's right.
Because I know that's what you saw, that's what you like, and I saw it. I was like, I'm not into it, but I'll watch it because, whatever, it's on Netflix. But it's not a horror show.
No, it's a mystery with horror elements to it. Yes. And good horror elements.
Very good.
When they do
stuff. And a good mystery. I mean, at its core, it's a good mystery show.
It really is. I've seen that two episodes, and it's worthy. I think you guys should check it out. Put on the mic. I think you might enjoy it.
Put on your list, yes.
Yeah, put on the list. Put on the list. I mean, hopefully it ends well, man. You know, there's the kind of shows that can really go off the rails, like an OA kind of thing.
I hope not.
I mean,
BBC, so let's give it. You know,
no, it's BBC. BBC is giving us good stuff with Netflix. So, it's a good show. I recommend you guys watch that, especially if you like that kind of horror vibe and it's not full fledged horror at all.
Correct.
It does have those elements in there. When it does, it actually kind of works pretty well. So those are the ones I've already kind of seen lately. Obviously, George, have you seen Counterpart by chance? Have you?
I haven't caught it, but I mean,
been listening to the podcast?
Sorry.
George, obviously not, because he would know. We've been saying for like last 10 weeks, get on the Counterpart bandwagon.
Hold on, wait. In all fairness, though, do you have stars, George?
I don't have that channel.
Okay, well, see, there you go. So, it's understandable. So, fine. You have HBO?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I still know Game of Thrones. This guy's the worst.
Yeah, exactly, dude.
Sorry, bro. You know, like I said, I mean, I've seen season one, and then the, I'm like,
the last season is coming.
Apology not accepted. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Forget it. He's off that train, dude.
I'm off the train,
leave,
bro.
Leave him on platform 9 3/4, dude. He's staying there.
Oh, my God. We're going to send
tranquilo with the guy in Kansas, bro. Estoy tranquilo.
The guy in Kansas taking lessons at Cobra Kai, dude.
Déjame ir tranquilo.
Yeah. I know you wanted to mention, because I know you're more up to date with what's coming on and all that stuff. So I'll leave it to you as far as leading us into the month of April, if you will.
Well, yeah. Well, okay. Well, before we get to April, I guess let's announce that we'll have this Sunday is a finale for Counterparts. So yes, we'll have a deep dive next week, next episode, okay. Hopefully. A very deep dive, because that is Wednesday. Worthy of discussion.
Yes.
By a country mile. It's so last so episode was so good, man. I was like, you don't know what to expect, what's gonna happen, and they don't spoon feed you, man. You gotta follow the clues. It's really, really good.
I can't wait till Monday.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you have you Monday. I wait till Sunday.
Yeah, maybe I catch it Sunday. I doubt it. But whatever, either way. I watch it late night, but either way.
We finished Sneaky Pete, and man, that's
not done yet. Not done yet.
Oh,
yeah. Because I've been, watching Jessica Jones and me and Anna, she's still watching Game of Thrones. So, I watch it with her.
Yeah.
We just entered season 5. But I'm gonna catch up on that sometime. But but great show.
Yeah, but before I get to April, there's two shows that I'm recommending. One's called Collateral on Netflix. It's a 4-episode arc by BBC as well. So it's got the Luther vibe. It's got Luther vibe show, cop drama. But it's only 4 episodes. And that's why I compared it to Luther. Those 4 or 5 short season episodes.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good. It's kind of like an extended movie, I guess. But you can break up with 4 episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll check that one out.
And a good documentary that I recommend that I just started watching. I finished it already. It was Hitler's Circle of Evil, also on Netflix. And that goes into deep dive as far as the guys around them, from beginning to end. Probably beyond ass kissers, guys, power mongers more than anything else. But it goes into really detail as far as Himmler and Hess and Goebbels and all these guys grows up with them, and their internal struggle for power to be, the number two behind Hitler and. How they ticked each other over and obviously led to their downfall when it was all said and done. But really good episode.
I'm a
Hitler's Circle of Evil.
All right.
So I think it's a BBC documentary, but it's on Netflix and it's really good. So it's 8 episodes, and it's really, really good documentary, man. It's not like a documentary, but it's really good, man.
Okay. I love that stuff, so I'll jump in that.
Oh yeah, for sure, dude. I think new stuff that's come out, The Terror on ABC, AMC, sorry. I saw 2 episodes. Looks good, man. It's really good. It's got some heavy hitter actors in it. They're not, AMC is not, they're definitely spurging on paying for some name actors for these shows. It's really, really good.
Okay. What else we got?
All right. So for April, we got Lemony Snicket's comes out,
that's right,
Friday. Season 2, yes.
Good stuff. Oh,
Stefano.
Like
it's
good.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
Neil Patrick Harris. It's a fun show, man.
It's a fun show.
Family show.
It's a fun show. Yeah, yeah. It's good filler.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. It's above average filler. It's pretty good.
Yeah. No.
It's actually, it kind of fits into my quirky thing. I like quirky crap like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
No, it's good. I like the show. Like I said, it's a little bit different. Law of Kilter, which is fine. It's good.
Legion next week, Tuesday. On FX. Great show, man. Yeah. So finally, glad to see that back. We got Bosch coming out this month on Amazon. Yes. So awesome cop drama.
Looks good.
The Expanse. I can't push that enough. I hope you guys can finally get around to it eventually sometime this lifetime.
I know,
dude. But it's good. I mean, but I'm saying it's really, really, it's great TV,
I know,
dude.
But I mean, it's just always, it's...
Can't watch everything, but watch the great stuff at least.
That's 76 shows on my Netflix queue.
Well, you got too much crap on your Netflix queue, dude. What do you even tell you, man?
You don't have to watch the OA, dude. You can take it off.
Exactly.
I'm not watching that.
Anyway, that's on Sci-Fi. That starts on the 11th.
He's focusing on WrestleMania, bro.
There you go.
Another Netflix that I'm hearing good reviews coming out that are starting to leak out. Lost in Space on Netflix comes out, I think, the 23rd.
I saw the trailer for that.
The trailer looked good, and then the first episode reviews are in, and they have it, you know, 9 and above. I'm like, oh, okay, now I'm getting excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And there was another one with, I don't know if it's April, but the one with, what's this guy, Stan Worthington?
Titan.
That's a movie. Another one that I wanted to go see.
Yeah, that's a movie, that's so I'm curious about. I'll leave the movies to you.
I thought that was a show. Okay, I guess
no, I'll No, it's a movie. Yeah. It's a movie. Okay.
But okay. I'm curious. Anyway. I think it looks decent.
Yeah.
It looks interesting. Yeah. And it looks a little better on right. So that's also always good.
Two more shows I enjoy on AMC. Into the Badlands. I've been watching that for the last two seasons. So
yeah. Season 3, right?
Yeah. Season 3 comes out. The first two seasons are already on Netflix. So if you want to catch it there, catch up there by all means. If, you know, whatever. It's good. It's good.
I just could.
It's in the filler category. It's good.
It is. Martial arts. I couldn't get into it that much. Yeah.
And definitely one we're all excited about coming out on the 22nd, Westworld on HBO, baby.
Oh, yeah.
That's like the appetizer before the Avengers comes out. Good week that week.
We got a very full April, to say the least, as far as TV.
It's kind of stacked. It's stacked.
Yeah. And actually, there's one show that I started watching on Netflix. It's a Brazilian show called The Mechanism. So that came out last week, I think. So I started to watch that as well. So in lieu of having our foreign corner correspondent here, there we go.
Is it dubbed in English or is it subtitled?
Yeah, you can watch it in Portuguese and catch it with the subtitles.
I prefer that.
Of course. Yeah, that's how I watch it. I don't like watching it. You know, like Dark was the show.
They
gave us
a choice. Up like that.
Yeah, but here you can watch it in the Portuguese and read the subtitles. So. No issues there.
Yeah, it's a stacked month. It's gonna be exciting.
Yeah, one of my you know guilty pleasures. I like watching Santa Clara Diet. That came out last week. I'm watching it. So
I didn't watch. I didn't like the first season much.
Will not watch it.
There's too much too good stuff for me to. I mean, if I had nothing else to watch, yeah, I'll put it on.
No, you probably have enough. Like I said, I watch all these shows, so I like it.
There's a lot on the menu. It's like my eyes are getting bigger than my stomach. You know what I mean? I'm just putting on my plate. I can't even finish all this food, dude.
I know, dude. There's a lot to watch this month for sure.
A lot to watch. But no, okay. A good month. That's going to be a really good month. With lots to talk about in the next few weeks, next month or so.
Absolutely.
Leading up to,
absolutely.
Of course, ending off, topping it off with Infinity Wars. George, anything I know you want to say before we sign off here? Any TV you're watching?
Well, honestly, I think it's, you know, I just wanted to give a shout out to my wife for letting me, you know, do this. Because I know it's like una hora y media, you know, like, especially when we're planning and we're doing party favors for the
It was a special guest thing, so, you know.
George, she's 1 year old. She ain't gonna remember any of this, okay?
that's my
advice to you. She ain't, she never know. Dude, oh my God.
It doesn't matter, bro.
Chewie, let him have his thing, man.
No, I didn't say it. You've been down this road, dude.
Man. It's a big deal, man. It's the first birthday. You've been there twice.
You've been there.
Yeah, and no one remembers any. The kids don't care, and they don't remember any of this.
but at least let me savor it for. I mean, maybe later on, she won't remember anything. But at least, you know, like, at least let me, you know, let me enjoy it.
The missus remembers, so.
Yeah, she remembers. That's for sure. Give a shout out to Andrea too, you know. And by the way, thank you for letting me guys do this, you know, for having me on, you know, and throwback for like a little bit, you know.
Throwback Wednesday.
Yeah, you know.
It was good. It was good to have you on the show. And like I said, anytime you want to join out, just give us a shout out, dude. We'll let you know what we're doing. You're more welcome to join us for little discussions, you know.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad that you guys had, you know, opened up the venue and we had a little fun like back in the, you know,
absolutely, man. It was a good time. And like I said, anytime. I know your schedule's a lot busier than usual, than the most of us. So, you know, whenever you're freed up. I would love to have you back on, you know, regular or not, whatever, it's up to you. But let us know. I mean, whenever you got time, you know, it's. Reach out to us. Are you doing a show this week? Yeah, this time next day. You can join us and whatever. It's fine.
Oh, definitely.
especially with the Skype, makes it a lot easier for all of us. So,
yeah. No, that's why I was kind of like, you know, it was the opportunity presented itself that we were through Skype. If I had to go, but yeah, you know, like that's a little by a mile, you know.
Right, no, more, exactly.
But like this, the, yeah, it's not a problem.
But the relocation of the girlslife.com studios is more difficult. Speaking of which,
congratulations,
Mike,
on that new studio, by the way.
Studios is true. Yeah.
We're not in there yet, man.
Yeah, I know, dude.
Well, it's been purchased, so well, are you waiting? So it hasn't
procured.
Purchased.
They're putting in the soundproof insulation.
Yeah, they're putting in the insulation.
AKA the milk crate.
They need some of that left field productions money.
Real, dude.
They gotta eat. We gotta eat here. Real mention of Mike, finish it off. Anything?
No. I just want to shout out my wife, of course. My boy Robert from Barbara Floyd. Dennis Baratheon, who's been down on his luck lately, just want to give him a shout out. Other than that, you know, it's good to have you guys on again.
Yeah. Awesome. You go to Chewy, I just wanted to say thank you. I guess for that one fan or all other fans that asked about me. You know, sometimes it's been a while. You know, I'm like I feel like Dwayne The Rock Johnson in WrestleMania time. You know, like I said, you know, like that one performer that comes in and then he just vanishes and comes back. You know, but. I'm glad that at least I was remembered, you know, I wanted to shout out to them and say thank you.
George Rupert, how you doing?
Yeah, how you doing?
Well, that's all we got, guys. I ran a little long, but again, we have special guests, so we don't mind. We had a good time. Hope you guys did as well. Don't forget to always reach out to us on Facebook and all that. And again, George, thanks for coming on and, you know, joining us.
Thanks for having
us. And the fun that is the Real Mentors podcast. And again, you're welcome at any point.
Hey, Jose.
Oh, yes.
Chewie didn't get to say his words.
Yeah, no, shit, dude.
Dude, he's the guy who plays
it's
Galaga.
Just like the, it's just like the old shows, dude. Chewie,
he's
who?
The guy playing Galaga in the ship in the Avengers, dude. Does he really have a say here, dude? I mean, right. Oh, okay, Chewie. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's all good, dude. Glad to still be remembered on this episode of the podcast.
Just remember it was me that remembered you, Chewie.
Yeah, no, thanks. I appreciate it. Not in my own brother. Not in my own blood, dude. Dude.
George took the spotlight, dude. He stole your thumb.
Apparently so, dude. Good times, and looking forward to next week's counterpart talk.
Absolutely. Nice. All right, guys. See you guys next week.
Later. Later.